Praise God. We have come to the second part of our sermon series, which is called For Charlotte. And today, the video that you just saw was about the fact that you see so many buildings around in the city, but there is only one church. Many of us equate church to a building. Many people say, oh, that church is big. There's so many people. There is so many things. But let me tell you, when God looks at a church today in this world, there is only one church. A church is not a building. It is a group of people who have been called out to follow Jesus. That is what a church is. So today I'm going to speak about the second part of the series is for the church. When you look at the series, you know, as I told you, this is the second of the 4-week United Sermon Series. There are over 73 churches that are participating and reaching over 41,000 people with a one message. The message is that we are one. We are for the church. Last week, if you remember, we spoke about we are for the gospel. And along with the sermon on those who came on Wednesday, I know you enjoyed, I enjoyed myself, about what is the gospel, why do we preach? Why are we for the gospel? Today we are going to speak about why are we for the church. So let me, as we come regarding the for the church, let me give you the goal of the sermon series. So the goal of the sermon series is to make you understand what is the core of our Christian faith and mission. We need to understand what is our Christian faith all about and what is our mission, and then my intention is to cast a vision of the united body of Christ that can transform our city together. We can transform if we are together in this part. Imagine what would happen if the whole church were known for what we are for and not what we are against. So as we examine the word of God this morning, and we understand what was the desire of Jesus. Kartava Yeshu Kristunde Agraham endra. What was his desire? Where are we about that? Today we are fractured by denominations. The other day I heard somebody telling me that somebody said, oh, IPC blood is going through my veins. And the brother was saying, what a foolishness. IPC blood is going through your veins? What has IPC done for you? Or what has AG done for you? Or what has Church of God done for you? All these denominations will rest upon this earth. But we all are part of one church. There is no denomination, no culture, no barrier, no groups. We are one in Christ. We are one people of God. We have one Heavenly Father. We are going to one place which is called heaven. God does not have compartments there. God does not have divisions there. God does not have denominations there. It is good that we are part of the Assemblies of God denomination. I am a minister of the denomination. But I hold it only in that regard. Moreover, we are the people of the kingdom of God. How many of you agree with me? How many of you agree with me? We are the people of God's kingdom. Deva Rajyathinte Makkala Nammal. And so, my desire is that we need to understand our Christian faith and our mission that God has and how we can transform the city together. So today's sermon is about the necessity of the unity in the body of Christ. I know we all come from different places and with different situations. I come from a very unique place, born in North India, coming from Kerala, born in North India, married from Bombay, living in Delhi, worked in the Gulf. I mean, I'm very different from most of you are. Some of you are born in Kerala completely. You have a culture that you are born through. Somewhere in out of the states or out of the country. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if we are speaking Malayalam or Tamil or Telugu or any other language. It doesn't matter at the end of the day. We are one in Christ. And we need to look at that with that kind of thinking, the way that Christ wants us to think. So I want to speak to you about the unity in the body of Christ. Where does that unity come from? That unity comes from how God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit are united and they are one. We don't serve three gods. There are three personalities of one God. There is God the Father, there is God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They are triune God, but they are one. They have different personalities. They are doing different functions, but they are one. And it is the way we all should be. Even though we are different with different personalities and different background, we are one in Christ. We should understand that we are all one in Christ. That was basically what Jesus desired. So as we understand, I want you to turn your Bibles to the Gospel of John chapter 17. I want us to read a few verses. John chapter 17. You can also look at the PowerPoint that I've created for you. For somebody who did not bring the Bible, or you do not want to open your Bible, it's up to you. I'm not condemning you for that. You can look at the screen and also read it. This is a part of the prayer of Jesus. This is the real Lord's Prayer, by the way. When people ask, what is the Lord's Prayer? We all say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That is not the Lord's Prayer. That is a model prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. If you want to know what is the real Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus prayed, that is found in John chapter 17. That is the high priestly prayer, where Jesus at the end of his mission, he stands before God and is giving a report about what he has done so far. And I wanted to read the whole portion, but because of the lack of time, I'm not reading the whole chapter. But I want to start from verse number 20. When Jesus is praying for us, namukku vendi 2000 varsham munbe gadhasamina thottathil kartavu namukku vendi prarthicha prarthana. What did Jesus pray for us 2000 years ago, standing in the Garden of Gethsemane? And this is what we are going to read today. And this is what we read. Jesus' prayer, the part of Jesus' prayer. This is how Jesus prayed. My prayer is not for them alone. The them means the disciples with him who were them. He says, I'm not praying for only those people who are with me. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. And what is the prayer? That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. There is a comparison here. Jesus says, God, my Father, just as you and me are one, I desire everyone to be one. And then Jesus says, may they also be in us, so the world may believe that you have sent me. Why should we be one? So that the world outside will believe that Jesus Christ was sent by God the Father. For people outside to know that Jesus is the Son of God, we have to be one. And that is what Jesus prayed for. And then in verse number 22, Jesus says, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. That the world may know, or the world will know, that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. What a powerful prayer. What a prayer where we understand that Jesus was praying for us. And this was the desire of his heart. Just a few hours before, he knew he would have to carry the cross and die on the cross. The last prayer of Jesus, Lord, that they may be one. As I and you are one, I want them to be one. I in them and you in me, and we are one as we do the will of God. Let me give you an illustration. And this is something very interesting. For those, especially for children, you will find this. Do you know the difference between a spotlight and a laser beam? What is the difference between a spotlight and a laser beam? You can see both of it in the screen here. How can a medium power laser burn through steel in a matter of seconds, while the most powerful spotlight can only make it warm. Just a medium power laser beam can burn through steel in a matter of seconds, while the most powerful spotlight can only make it warm. Both of them meet the same electrical requirements. The difference is unity. Let me describe to you. This is little scientific. I hope you will catch up with me as I'm trying to tell you. A laser is described as a medium of excited molecules with mirrors at each end. Some of these excited molecules decay when they are in a less excited state. In the decay process, they release a photon or a particle of light. It is here that the unique process of a laser begins. The photon moves along and tickles another molecule, inviting another photon to join him in the journey. These two photons tickle two more molecules, invite two more photons to join the parade. Soon there is a huge army of photons marching in step with one another. It is that unity that laser beam gets the power. A spotlight may have just as many photons, but each are going in their own independent way. Sometimes they interfere with the other photons. As a result, much of the power is wasted. They cannot be focused to do any useful work. So a laser becomes, because of the unity, because they are all step in step, they are all focused on the same element, a laser beam is like an army marching in tight formation and able to bring great power and focus the objectives. That is the difference between a laser beam and a spotlight. So let me talk about the power of one. Why is Jesus telling us that we have to be one and not many? When you look at chapter number 17 of John's Gospel, the first 5 verses, Jesus first prayed for himself. Kartav thanikku vendi prarthichu. Verses 1 to 5. Then from verse 6 to 19, Jesus prayed for his current disciples that were with him. But from verse 20 to 26, Jesus is praying for the future believers, the disciples who would follow him one day in the future, and that included you and me. So 2000 years ago, Jesus prayed for us. Now let me ask you this, what specifically did Jesus pray that should happen? Anna Kartav endo prarthicha. What did he pray that should happen among us? If you look in verses 20 to 23, Jesus prayed for unity among believers in fellowship for witness bearing. In order to bear witness of Jesus, we have to be united. We have to be one. We have to be together. We have to be of the same mind. We have to do things of the same way. There is no up and down. Nobody higher or lower. We are all with the same objective, with the same focus, doing the same things, focusing on the same area. And that is what Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed that we will exhibit the character of God. That would what will cause the world to believe that God has sent Jesus. It is that unity that when the world looks at us, they say we see Christ in the Christians as God the Father was seen in Jesus Christ. We see Jesus in these people because they are all one. And when through our unity the world will realize that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that we are loved by God just as Christ was loved by God. So the loving relationship of believers with one another is the greatest witness of Jesus Christ. This is the greatest witness of Jesus Christ. If you don't believe me, I want you to turn to a verse that I want to give you. John, to turn to the Gospel of John. And where Jesus spoke about a new commandment. I know some of you remember what the new commandment is. Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you. What is it? John chapter 13 and verse number 34 and 35. Jesus said, a new commandment I'm giving you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Njan ningale snehicha pole ningale anyonyam snehikanam. You should love one another, that you also love one another. And verse number 35 says, by this all will know that you are my disciples, when you love one another. When you speak something bad about somebody else, remember, you are being an enemy to the kingdom of God. Because God wants everybody to be one. When you open your mouth and say something wrong about somebody, or put somebody down, or bring disunity among the group of believers, remember, you are standing with Satan, who himself is trying to bring disunity among people. This is what Satan does all the time. He's trying to bring disunity and discord among in the church. By bringing people and making them think, oh, you have been hurt. Let me put that other person down. Jesus wants us to be united as one and love one another. The second thing I want to tell you is that in verses 24 to 26, Jesus prayed for unity among believers in their future glory. Let me tell you, we have not been glorified yet. One day, our earthly body is going to change into a heavenly body. Our lowly body, our corruptible body, is going to change into a body which is incorruptible. We are going to receive the same glory that God gave His Son Jesus. We are going to receive the same glory in our lives. And we will see Jesus manifested through us. We all are going to be having glorified bodies one day, when Jesus will come back to take us to heaven. And so, in the prayer that Jesus prayed, our essential unity, He prays for, but He also prays that we will be united in our incarnation when our bodies are changed to her glorified heavenly body. And the great power happens when we truly are one and not many people. This is the greatest declaration of the gospel to the world, which is experienced in the unity of the body of Christ. This is the promise that Jesus says, if they are one, just like I and you are one, Father, if the people are one, the world will know that you have sent me and I have sent them, and that will be the greatest witness for the world. This is why are we being ineffective to reach the worldly people? Because they see all the fighting in the church. They see all the problems in the church that is there in the world outside. You go to a general meeting of any company business, there is fighting. You go to a general body meeting of a church, there is fighting there. What is the difference between the children of God and the worldly people? If we are behaving the same way as the worldly people, how can the world say that Jesus is our Lord and He has transformed our lives? The world should see the church being one and know that Jesus was sent by God and that Father loves the world as He loves Jesus. So as I'm speaking for the church, I'm just telling is that Christ wants unity in the church. We also should want unity in the church. Jesus is building the church with the power of oneness for the church. So let me just give you a couple of points from John chapter 17. So when you look at John chapter 17, number one, we are called to share Jesus' love and concern for the church. We are called to share His love and concern for the church. Number two, we are called to help be the solution of Jesus' concern. And we have to recognize basically four things. There are four things that we need to recognize. Number one, we have a common privilege. What is the common privilege? We all have received a revelation from God. The revelation about a heavenly kingdom. So that we know that this world is not our own. We are looking for something beyond the grave. Our life is not ending with the grave. We have an eternal life that is facing us beyond the grave. And that is the revelation, a common privilege that we have received. Number two, in verse number 9 to 12, Jesus speaks about our common status, that we are owned by God. We belong to God. We are God's children. He is our heavenly Father. And we are kept by God. We all have a common status that we are God's children. The third thing we should realize is we have a common challenge. What is the common challenge? Is that we have a common enemy. We are not the enemy to one another. Flesh and blood is not an enemy. It is the powers of darkness that is working day and night to bring disunity and to bring disharmony in our lives. In our personal life, in our family life, in our church life. It is Satan. We need to recognize who the enemy is. And we need to fight together with the common enemy. And the fourth thing I would say is that we have a common union. In verse 20 to 23, as I said, we have a union with one another. And that union is revealed how we behave, how we talk, how we look at each other. We should not discriminate anybody based on color or caste or religion or language or wealth or stature or education. God has placed us all as unique individuals, but we are all one in Christ. Let me give you a few verses to support this unity before I close here. The first one I would give you is Ephesians chapter 4. If you have your Bible, Ephesians chapter 4, turn to verses 1 to 7. Apostle Paul speaking to the church of Ephesus. I want to read this out and I want you to listen to this. Therefore, I, a prisoner of the serving the Lord, beg you. Paulos namloda yajikiva. He is not ordering us. He says, I beg you to do what? To lead a life worthy of your calling. Ninde vili manasilaki. Ninde jeevitham aa vidathil naikkanam. Live a life that is worthy of the high call that God has placed in your life. Because you have been called by God. Devam nammale ellam samaya samayathinu vilichu. God has called each one of us. We need to live our life that is worthy of that call of God. He has called us. Adonde nammal endha cheyanam? Look at the next verse. Always be humble and gentle. Eppolum vinayathode. Orikkalum ahankaram varada. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Make allowance for each other's faults. Because of your love. Because love covers a multitude of sin. Devathinte sneha nammude ullil, when God's love emanates from us, we will overlook the fault of others. We love our children in spite of their mistakes. Why? Because we love them very much. The same way, love one another irrespective of their faults. Let your love overlook the faults of other people. Look to others and love them with the love that Christ has loved us. Kartav namale snehichathu. Not because we are good, but because He is good. He overlooked our faults and He loved us. We need to overlook the fault of others. Make allowance for each other's faults because of our love. And then the next verse says like this. Make every effort to keep yourself united in the Spirit, binding yourself together with peace. Samadhanathode angotum ingotum nammale bandhikkanam. Bind each other with love. Let the cords of love be binding us together that we do not form factions in our life. And the Apostle Paul is saying, for there is one body. Now start counting this. One body and one Spirit. Just as you have been called to one glorious hope in the future, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Apostle Paul says, we have oneness in one another. We have one body. We are one body of Christ. Christ is the head of the church. We are the body. Some parts are out, some parts are in. Every part is important in the body of Christ. Some people do work in the back end. Some people are in the public face. Doesn't matter. We are all members of the body of Christ. Some people always want to be on the stage. They think this is the only ministry. But let me tell you, every ministry that you do in the kingdom of God, they are all important for us. I don't know how many of you know this. This morning, Prasad Brother and Shaji Brother came to this church at 5:30 in the morning today and made this place good for us. Does anybody know what they did? No, but God saw them. And that is not something that you stand on a stage and do something. It's a reward that they have done because they have felt that oneness in Christ. Whatever we can do, we need to serve the body of Christ with what talents you have. Don't just always look for the limelight and look to stand on the stage, but look to serve the kingdom of God and look to serve God because we have been called into one unity. The feet is not bigger than the hand. The mouth is not bigger than the heart. Every part of our body is important. And when one part hurts, we all hurt. When one part rejoices, we all rejoice. Sometimes when you say something good, people are not happy. You're angry. Oh, why I did not get that? I'm telling you, let us take away all this pettiness. And let us love one another beyond our looks. And serve one another with humility. Because that is what Christ has called us. We have one glorious hope. We serve one Lord. We have one faith. We have one baptism. And we serve one God and Father who is over all, in all, and through all. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, we have a part in the body of Christ. Each of you are important. There is no one sitting here, from the smallest child to the biggest person. We all are integral in the working of a body of Christ. You need to understand where you can contribute. What is your talent? Come in and join. Don't stand in the back and criticize and make fun and put people down. Because God wants us to work together. It doesn't matter. None of us matter. We all are one in Christ. We all work for Him. End of the day, only He deserves the glory. How many of you agree with me? Can you lift up your hands and say, praise the Lord? Only God deserves the glory. None of us deserve that. Praise God. Our call is to maintain the unity of the Spirit. Let me give you one more verse. In Galatians chapter 3, 28 and 29. Here Paul is speaking to the church of Galatia. He says, there is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. Abraham is our spiritual father. Just as God promised Abraham in Genesis 12, that I will bless you and you will be a blessing to all nations. That has been fulfilled in our lives, where we take the gospel, the blessing that God has blessed us, and we bless all nations around us. That is the great blessings as God's spiritual children and the spiritual children of Abraham. That blessing has been transmitted to each and every one of us. Let us think about that. Our oneness of Christ will supersede any division that the society is trying to put. Let me also give you one verse from Psalms 133. And verse number 1, it says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's not a bad thing. You know, there's a joy. Namal orimicha oru karyam cheyumbol. There is a joy. Many times if something is told, oh, he is there to do it, let him do it. Oh, it's not beneath me, it's beneath me, I'm not going to touch it. Nammal aa attitude maarita. Let's all do what we can, however much we can. When it comes to giving our time, our talents, our treasures, whatever we can. Listen to this. You are not serving me or you are not serving anybody. We are all serving only one person. We all are answerable to one person. And that is Jesus Christ. Because one day, every knee shall bow before Jesus. Every tongue will acknowledge that He is God. And one day He is going to ask us, what have you done with what I have given you? Let me close with an illustration here. The importance of unity. Some time ago in a tribe in Africa, there was a little child that wandered and into the jungle. And that child could not be found anywhere. The whole day the tribal people searched for the child, but they could not find the child. So next day the tribal people all got together and said, you know what? Let's do something different now. Instead of everybody going different directions, let's all hold hands. Let's all scan the entire area around us. And so they walked the grass together in the bushes. After some searching, they found the child. But in the cold night, that child had died. He did not survive. And in the anguish and the tears, the mother of the child, she cried out, oh, if only we had hold our hands together earlier. Why we were so late to hold our hands? We would have found my child alive and not dead. Because everybody was walking in their own directions. They could not find it. You know, it's not enough that we share a common goal. We all need to accomplish that goal without any hesitation. It goes beyond any competition. We are not competing with each other. We need to complement one another. We need to use our diversity in the greatest strength. Each of us have got different talents, different skills, different abilities. Use everything that we can really encourage one another and bless the kingdom of God. And we can win more for Christ. So let me give you some closing thoughts here. And I'm going to close here. I want us everybody to understand. You know, when we talk about our church, in the words of our Lord Jesus, Kartava Yeshu Christu, Matthai Suvisesham, 16:18, Jesus made a statement, Nyan in the Sabaya Paniyum, Padala Goburangal, Adine Jaikathilla. I will build my church, Enda Sabha, that church with a capital C. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Today, God has given us the opportunity to be a co-laborer in the kingdom of God to build the church. Jesus is building the church. If we are not part of the building, we'll be out of it. But He will build the church because it is a promise of God. Kartav and Sabai Paniva. Even people who are not knowing about Christ, when people are not going there, God is giving them visions. I've heard about people in the Middle East getting visions of Jesus appearing. And they are accepting Christ when people are not willing to go there. I am telling you, Jesus is building the church. And so as the body of Christ, what we should do? We should strive to promote unity in the body of Christ. Let there be no one sitting here who any time attempt to bring disunity among us, to sow the seeds of disunity and to make fighting each other, because God wants us to be bound together with love. We need to get along with others as we spread the aroma of Christ's love to other people. We should love and serve one another without any reservations. We should never sow discord, because this is one of the things that God hates. Devam varukkunnathu. If you are sowing discord among brethren, God hates that. I want us to remember, unity is not something that is left to chance. Unity is something that we need to strive for. You know, we have a common enemy, as I said. That is Satan. In the Satan, what is he doing? He is like a roaring lion, seeking to devour us. He is looking for loose people, stragglers, who is away from the bunch. looking to capture us. I've heard the story about wild buffaloes. When the lion comes to wild buffaloes, it says that they lock their horns with each other and they face the lion, and the lion cannot stand a group of wild buffaloes that has got their locks, the horns locked, because they are very powerful. Even the ferocious lion cannot stand against it. Today, as Satan, as a roaring lion, is trying to devour us, the moment we are together, I am telling you, no power of Satan can devour us. Can we relate to one another and pray for one another? Let every eyes be closed. Hallelujah. Can you just pray to the Lord? Lord, please bind us together. Katave, I want us every eyes to be closed and every head to be bowed down. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, Lord, let the cords of the love of Christ. Hallelujah. Kartave angede aa snehathinte charadu kond enni onnu bandhikkaname. Lord, bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Kartave nangale onnaakkaname oru vidathilum. Lord, let there be no thinking of highness among us. Nangale thanne velludaakki orikkalum chindikkan. Lord, let it never happen in our life. Jesus, thank you, Father. Can we all stand up on our feet as we sing this song together? It's a prayer. This song is a prayer that says, Lord, bind us together. Nangale orimichakkaname kathave. Bind us together. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Bind us together. Together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together, Lord, bind us together with love. Yeah. us together, Lord, find us together.